If America is to remain free, then voter integrity is a must. When the founders established our constitutional republic, part of the genius of what they laid out is that they knew man's basic nature, which is sinful. James Madison, a key architect of the Constitution, said, "All men having power ought to be distrusted. Elections must be secure." Mark Harris of North Carolina serves as the Family Research Council's National Director of Community Impact. He is a pastor, and in a previous segment, which I'll link to, we tell how he ran in 2018 for U.S. Congress, and he appeared to win, but then at the last minute there seemed to be some alleged voter fraud. Well, we've already discussed that, and again, we'll link to that, but now I want to have Mark back to discuss this whole issue in general. How do we deal with voter integrity? We must have that. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Mark, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, Jerry, I'm honored to be with you. Thank you for inviting me back.
Sure. And just a real quick anecdote. I co-wrote a book once with Dr. Mark Belisles on the subject of Thomas Jefferson. And he had mentioned, you know, I saw his doctoral thesis or one of his theses that he had written, and he wrote not only about Jefferson, but also about James Madison, whom I had just quoted a moment ago. And it turns out when Madison was a young man and was running for Congress, or not Congress, he was running for maybe the House of Burgesses, or he was running for some sort of office in Virginia, he lost because his opponent managed to give little liquor bottles or something like that to essentially buy off voting. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? You know, the voter fraud runs deep in the human race, and the founders have done so much to try and avoid it. How about an overall thought on the whole issue of voter integrity and how critical that is to the American experiment?
Well, I think you nailed it earlier in your opening, where we realize that the DNA of humanity is to sin and is to take advantage of situations and circumstances that don't always demonstrate the highest level of integrity. And we must make sure that our elections are free and our elections are fair. I mean, that is a foundational part of our entire system. And I think our boards of elections and our states have gotten so really out there in terms of different regulations and the administrative state and things that they have tried to put in place that maybe had the appearance that they were going to help election integrity. But unfortunately, they've only confused the situation and opens the door for the administrative state to target whoever they choose to target and to overlook whatever they choose to overlook. And that's another whole part of the election integrity issue, is making sure that we have not so empowered the administrative state that we lose the accountability to the voters.
Well, along those lines, isn't there a push now to federalize the whole process, including the counting? And that's not something that the Constitution stipulates. It's more of a state-by-state issue. People need to remember, the federal government of the United States of America was created by the United States of America, which, you know, came into this covenant together. The word federal is derived from the Latin fodus, or it's spelled F-O-E-D-U-S, and it means covenant. So right. What about this thought, though, about federalizing the election results as opposed to what the Constitution mandates?
I've never been a fan of expanding the power of the federal government. So that's a nightmare in and of itself most of the time. You know, our role is to follow the Constitution to get things, an authority closer to home. I think we see that in every aspect of our culture. When the control is in the hands of parents in the home, it is far better than when that power is usurped by some other authority, an authoritative group. And I think when we think about elections, we have to depend on the states to run those, to have the responsibility, and the states to have the watchdogs all the way down to the local. That's probably been one of the greatest things to come out of the election integrity movement are the number of states that where I've seen just activists that are getting involved and being poll watchers. And that played a big difference in the election of Glenn Youngkin in Virginia's governor's race just a couple of years ago. And again, I think what we are seeing are people that are saying enough is enough. And we're getting back to where people are watching and paying attention.
In the case of Youngkin, I understand that he, as a successful businessman, even invested some of his own money, well-spent money, as I understand it, to buy some video equipment to make sure that key places were videotaped or whatever so there wouldn't be the monkey business.
That's exactly right. And I do think that the, again, there are, you know, out of every tragedy that we walk through in this nation, there are people that God uses to rise up, to be instruments of change and correct course. And it's certainly my prayer that we are going to continue to see that happen, in community after community and state after state across this country, because that is what the founding fathers intended. Our states were to be the laboratories, where, the people were closest to home. And that's how we've got to continue to manage this thing.
Since the Biden administration has begun, it's no secret that literally, millions of illegals have rushed through the borders, which are quite porous. In some cases, there are some states here and there and sort of some cities here and there where they're actually, it would seem, allowing for those people who are non-citizens to be able to vote in American elections. That doesn't bode well for voter integrity.
No, that's ludicrous. I mean, don't we see that out in California and other places?
Are you asking me?
Yes. I mean, we're seeing that in California, are we not? Where the people are getting these illegals that have come across are being allowed to register to vote. And again, swaying elections. This administration doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that this is really a big part of their push to open the borders and allow any to come in.
Okay. Tell us about, well, what would you recommend to, you know, change things so we have voter integrity?
Well, obviously, I think that we will be talking about the issue of securing the border. That's first and foremost. And that's a national issue from not only the voting rolls, but that's an issue that gets down to the brass tacks that we're seeing of the drugs, the human trafficking, all of the things that are a part of that. Are obviously of great, great concern to us. But I think with the election integrity issues, there are some states that have made some positive strides. I think we need to get back to an election day. And if there's anything that you want to do nationally, set a national election day that the states actually carry out. But again, one day and do away with all of these long-term early voting, do away with the absentee ballot, long-term thing that happens. Listen, there are so many things, as I mentioned earlier when we were speaking, that have our state board of elections and our different laws that we put in place that we think have been meant to make our elections go smoother have actually created an administrative state that has little to no accountability and that is able to choose and pursue who they're going to target and how they're going to go about following the rule of law or overlooking things. And well, so I think that we've got to.
Yeah, can I push you, Chris, back a little bit here on this? The one thing I want to push back on is about the election day thing, only because I know for a fact that there are some conservative governors that have really done a great job in terms of everything, including voter integrity, but they have allowed for early voting, provide enough of a situation where people can get out and vote, but not enough that there could be that, you know, opportunity for gross cheating. And so I just wanted to push back on just that one particular thing. And these are people who would believe very strongly in voter integrity.
Well, and listen, I agree with that. But again, if you're going to get consistency, and if we're going to have a sense of uniformity across the country, again, these votes that are cast so early, again, the voter by mail, absentee ballots by mail that come in, there's just a lot of inconsistency that we saw even in 2020 that went back to that put it in the hands of the courts, and then the courts are trying to decide when did these things have to be in and what counted and what didn't count. Again, you open Pandora's box the more complicated you make it. Even getting back to paper ballots, I mean, that's one big thing we see in North Carolina, a big push for folks to get back to paper ballots rather than to machines. So again, there's just some very basic things, but I do believe the idea of the poll watchers has been probably one of the greatest things that, A, not only has helped awaken people to the issue that we had, but it's also given many folks an opportunity to be engaged in the process, to be there in the precincts doing poll watching, signing up and following the rules and making sure everyone else is following the rules as well.
Now, you mentioned absentee voting. Absentee voting has been around at least since the Civil War, where Lincoln provided an opportunity for some of the soldiers on the field serving the country to be able to vote. But absentee voting is very, very different than the new phenomenon of ballot harvesting. Can you explain the difference?
Well, what you described is somebody serving the country, by all means, should legitimately be able to cast their ballot from overseas or wherever they are, having served the country. But for some of our states, we have 2 weeks to a month of absentee ballots, and some may even go beyond that of sending in ballots. And then in this country, there are states where ballot harvesting is legal. And where it is legal, I think Christians are coming to realize that we've got to figure out how we can operate within the rules and how we can make sure that our folks get their ballots in and counted as well. So this kind of things have gone on, which has opened up Pandora's box. And I know a lot of conservative Christians that are not very comfortable with the whole aspect. But again, there comes a time.
The whole aspect of ballot harvesting.
The ballot harvesting piece. But I know out in California, we saw particularly where churches got engaged with it and really came to understand that, listen, the other side's going to be doing it. We've got to awaken the people in the pew to know that you can cast your ballot and turn it in. And so I know that there are movements that have begun where folks at the church are being allowed to have their ballots brought to the church, dropped off there, and then responsible people are taking them and turning them in at the Board of Elections. But there's a lot of conservative Christians, quite frankly, I think, that are uncomfortable with that whole concept. But again, you've got to play with the hand you've been dealt. And I think it becomes a really big challenge. And that's the reason, again, a state, we have tried to, we've complicated it under the guise of trying to open it up or to make it more simple, but we have actually complicated it and left more room for all kinds of shenanigans to go on with those who would choose to cheat.
Wow. Mark Harris, thank you so much for being with us. We have enough time for your website, which is frc.org. Well, may God help us as a nation that voter integrity is restored as widely as possible. Thank you, Mark. All the best.
Thank you.